You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Saturday's edition of the podcast, where we're looking ahead to a fantastic day of action. We've got the rescheduled Welsh Grand National meeting, of course, over at Chepstow, weather permitting, and it's William Hill Lanzarote Day at Kempton. So two fantastic meetings coming up in the afternoon there, alongside a flat meeting over at Lingfield on their poly track. There's also action in Ireland at Punchestown, where the feature is the Grade 2 Moscow Flyer Novices Hurdle, and it's Darren Owen, Rory Delaghi and James Millman who'll be the team in the studio guiding you through all of the action from midday. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, on this edition of the podcast to offer up his thoughts on the best of the day's action is Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
I'm well, thanks, Sam. And yourself?
Yeah, not too bad at all, thank you. Getting into the swing of 2016, Craig?
Not really. hasn't been too kind to us in terms of betting so far, Sam. But, you know, obviously the racing's been hit with the wet weather, particularly in the north. You know, Weatherby has been a casualty. Newcastle has been a casualty this week. So hopefully we get some drier weather sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it must be difficult for you, I suppose. Some of your more specialist tracks are the ones that have been affected.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Doncaster was originally scheduled for Saturday, but when Chepstow was abandoned, the rejigged the fixtures around, and thankfully, you know, their card got the green light on Friday. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the rescheduled Welsh National. It is going to be a bit of a test, but again, let's hope for another dry night, because you know, it wouldn't take a lot of rain to put that meeting in jeopardy. But well played to all concerned for restaging what is usually a really good card.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And as you say, fingers crossed that the weather down there stays as good as it has been, as fine and dry as we've had so far. Just before we move on to look at Saturday's action, we'll take a quick spin through the news. Not too much of it to report today, Craig, but the big decision on the big story, sorry, on the front page of the Racing Post, something we've known for a little while regarding Joseph O'Brien, that he's going to go down the training route, and certainly that, when you listen to his comments, he seems very excited to do so. He'll be training the jumpers for the Aidan O'Brien Yard this year. Obviously, most notably involved in that string of jumpers is Ivanovic Gorbatov, who's the 5-1 favourite for the Triumph Hurdle. He's a jockey who maybe gets a little bit of stick sometimes for his rides, Craig, but certainly, as I say in his comments, looks like he's really relishing the challenge of training.
Yeah, I think it's a good move. You know, there's been a lot of talk around Joseph for the last couple of seasons now, really, and you know, I was always going to come to a day where you know, he's going to pack in riding, and it looks like he's gradually, you know, just finding his way out of the saddle. I think it's a good starting point for him. Obviously, there will be some useful times go hurdling for the Aidan O'Brien team, and he's, like you said, he's already got a 5-1 favourite for the Triumph Hurdle that was exciting at Leopardstown and heavy ground last time. You've got to think that, you know, the Irish team of juveniles as well are some way ahead of the English horses that we've seen so far, so a worthy favourite for the Triumph Hurdle, and it would be a great start to his training career, although obviously the licence would still remain in his father's name for Cheltenham. It would still be a great start to his training career if they could pull this one off. But it's an interesting move, and you know, you'd expect the family tradition to flow on, and I'm sure in years to come, Joseph will train a sack full of winners.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I suppose it's for a 22-year-old just getting into the training game, you couldn't ask for better facilities, really, could
you? Yeah, he's got everything there, hasn't he? And he's got the right people to show him how to do it properly. You know, I think that is a massive pointer. And you can only see it being a success, Sam, I have to say.
Yeah, that's right. Still going to keep some of his flat rides, Craig, although they'll be very few and far between. As I said a little bit earlier, he is a jockey who seems to come in for a little bit more criticism than perhaps some of his peers. What do you make of him as a horseman in general?
Yeah, I like him. I think he's a good jockey. Sam, you know, like you said, it's some of them rides that can go either way, whether hold a horse up.
Yeah.
If it comes off, you get all the praise and enter in ride of the week, ride of the month, competitions, etc., etc. But when they don't come off and you meet a little bit of trouble and maybe overdone the weight and tactics a little bit, you know, then the people are quick to jump down his neck and really get stuck in for those rides. But I think he's a good jockey. I think he's developed a lot over the last 2 years. And if I was interested in backing an Aidan O'Brien horse and Joseph was in the saddle, certainly wouldn't put me off if it was a selling race or a group one.
Okay. Similar criticism, I suppose, that had levelled at Jamie Spencer just for that style of ride, as you say. When it doesn't come off, it looks worse than it maybe actually was.
Yeah, definitely. It's always the case. And but yeah, I think he's a very good jockey, and obviously he'll be picking and choosing which horses he wants to ride for next season. And I think it's a good move for Joseph, because he has struggled a little bit in previous seasons with his weight.
Well, yeah, I mean he's such a tall lad for a jockey, isn't he? I guess so. It's always going to be difficult for him. I know he looks set to have a decent string of jumpers there. The five the post have picked out, Ivanovich Gorbatov, we mentioned there, the favourite for the Triumph Hurdle. Manila for me. Manila Aris, Outspoken, and Ed Wolf are the other four mentioned in there, all potentially really exciting sorts.
Yeah, definitely Ivanovich Gorbatov is the one. You know, he posted really good figures on his hurdling debut at Leopardstown over the Christmas, considering he was a fast ground winner on the level. You know, he proved versatile regarding the ground. He handled much deeper ground on that occasion, and obviously it won't be anywhere near his testing come March, but, well, we hope anyway. But, you know, I think he's probably, after only one start, the figure he clocked, he's going to be the one to beat in the Triumph. Because you would imagine he's only going to improve from that outing, one outing so far.
Yeah, certainly. So look forward to that, and best of luck to Joseph O'Brien then as he embarks on his training career. We'll take a look ahead now to Summer Saturday's action. Plenty of it. Some really good stuff. Wincanton abandoned, but still leaves us with the three domestic meetings and one over in Punchestown. Graded action on both sides of the Irish Sea, but we'll be focusing on the domestic stuff. And we start the podcast with probably the big race of the day, I suppose. It's the rescheduled Welsh Grand National. Chepstow, as you said, Craig, have done very, very well to get this on. Fingers crossed we get one more dry night so that we can enjoy this race. As ever, a field of 20 have assembled for it. Co-favourites are three at the time of recording. Cogri, Mountainous, who's won the race before, and Upswing are all 8-1. Emperor's Choice, last year's winner, 9-1. Shotgun Paddy, 11-1. Tour de Champ is 12. It's 14's bar. You always expect a competitive feel to the betting, Craig, and this year is no different.
Yeah, we've obviously got last year's 1-2 in the lineup, and we've also got the 2013 winner. So, we've got plenty of history from previous renewals of this staying race. But you look back at the ages of previous winners of this contest, Sam, and it's gone to, you know, the younger horses, the more unexposed horses. 6, 7, and 8-year-olds have a good record over the 10 and 11-year-olds in this race for previous renewals. And the horse I like here, with a nice steady progressive profile, is Cogri for Nigel Twiston Davis. I thought he ran a real good race when last seen at Cheltenham, finishing fourth behind Salserito Sunrise on that occasion off a mark of 135. He's gone up £2 for that. For that run, but Ryan Hatch again in the saddle takes 3 off. You know, he's got a nice racing weight. He's effectively racing off 10 stone 8 in this Sam, and I think he could take plenty of beating, because we know he handles heavy ground. He's won at Chepstow at this meeting, as it was last year, when he won the handicap chase over 3 miles, beating Alex Vick on that occasion. And I think he's got a real big chance. I think there's much more to come from him. He'll should definitely stay, no problem. And I do like his chances. I think he's definitely the one they all have to beat.
Okay, Cogri for Craig, then for Nigel Twiston Davis and Ryan Hatch. And as you mentioned, a 7-year-old, and you do have to go back right the way to 2003 for the last time when a horse older than 8 won this race, and that was Bindery, who of course added the Aintree National to his repertoire as well. So yeah, you're right, Craig, it does generally recently seem to go to 6, 7, and 8-year-olds, and Cogri fits that bill just nicely in the 145. Stay at Chepstow for the next race. This is the 220, grade one for us here. Future champions, juvenile hurdle, 2 miles is the trip for the eight runners going to this one? And I suppose all of these, Craig, fall under the umbrella of potentially class.
Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed with the Paul Nicholls horse last time, Adrian Dupont, who travelled well in the Cheltenham contest, but was, you know, just a little bit weak with his finishing effort there on that occasion. But I think this is a slightly weaker race. You know, Alan King's horse, who he beat, well, he got awarded the race at Chepstow, has certainly improved and got the better of him at Cheltenham last time. You know, and Alan King runs for Giving Glance here, who's finished second filly on both her starts over hurdles. You know, one positive for Adrian Dupont is we know he'll travel well in these conditions. He might not need to find as much as was required at Cheltenham last time. I think he could get away with it. And already rated 140, definitely the one they all have to beat.
Okay, then Craig's selection is going with Adrian Dupont in the 220 at Chepstow. We go to Kempton now for the WilliamHill.com Chase. The whole card sponsored by us here at William Hill on Saturday. We start with this 2 o'clock. Just the three runners lined up for this one. It's a listed chase as well, over 2.5 miles. Petite Zig, Wishful Thinking and Trio Delane are the three in the lineup, but all decent sorts in their own right, Craig.
Yeah, of course, Petite Zig and Wishful Thinking met in the Peterborough Chase at Huntingdon last time. It was a strange race because Wishful Thinking went off a little too hard in the early part under Richard Johnson. He certainly did too much out in front. Petite Zig would have definitely finished ahead of him on that occasion, but fell late in the day. But with only three runners here, you know, and if Richard Johnson just holds on to him a little bit longer, still makes the running, but not under such an aggressive ride as he got last time at Huntingdon. I think the old boy here, the 13-year-old, he might just get them at it because Petite Zig, there was a few errors crept into his round of jumping last time, and that would be the worry. And if Wishful Thinking gets into a nice stride and doesn't go as hard as he did at Huntingdon, I think he could prove hard to pass because the third horse, Trio Delane, we've never seen anything from him since he won the Hennessy, really, in 2013. He just hasn't gone on since then. A little bit more positive signs when last seen in January, but again, he's coming back after a 371-day absence here, and he's still got questions to answer. His mark has fallen to 150 now, but I think the old boy, the veteran here, Wishful Thinking, he can bounce out and hopefully jump from fence to fence and make all.
Okay, Craig, with Wishful Thinking then, the 13-year-old in that WilliamHill.com listed chase at Kempton. We stay at Kempton then for their feature of the day, the 235. This is the Lanzarote Hurdle, a listed handicap here over 2 mile and 5 furlongs. We've got 11 runners down to contest this at the time of recording. And again, co-favourites are three for this race. Bivouac, Ibis de Ruhr and Western Warrior are all 4-1. 11-2 for Yala Enkai. Brother Ted is 8-1. And it's 12-1 or bigger prices for the rest of them. You know what I mean? Harry has come out of the race just before we recorded this podcast, Craig. Was he on the shortlist?
He had to be on the shortlist for sure, Sam, because he's an improving horse. You know, he won a grade two last time at Cheltenham and he was coming in here off a mark of 138. Harry Fry was going to use Liam McKenna to take another 7 off. So he had to be on the shortlist. He wouldn't have been the selection, but he certainly would have made the shortlist. So, you know, the race is obviously slightly easier with him out now, unfortunately. The horse I like is Yala Enki. I think he deserves another chance. He made a real nice impression on his first start of the season at Exeter. He beat a real useful type of Philip Hobbs's on that occasion, Duke de Champs. You know, he himself was rated in the, 128-129 now. And, you know, from there, from a novice hurdle at Exeter, he was pitched into the Grade 3 handicap, the fixed brush hurdle at Haydock. You know, and I thought he was handicapped to play a part in that. He eventually finished 5th behind his stable companion, Badari, who's sadly no longer with us now. But that was a decent run, and I think he'll have learnt a lot from that experience. And coming back here to Kempton, I think this track should definitely play to his strengths. Charlie Deutsch takes 5 points. He's a very, very well handicapped horse for me, Yala Enki, and I think he's got a big chance to win the William Hill Lanzarote.
Yala Enki then for Craig for the combination of Anisha Williams and Charlie Deutsch in that 2:35, the Lanzarote Hurdle at Kempton. Just remind us, please, one more time, then your four selections for the action on Saturday afternoon, please, Craig.
Yeah, going back to the Welsh National, we're going for the Cogri, the young gun of Nigel Twiston Davis. Then in the 2 o'clock at Kempton, we're going for Wishful Thinking, back to Chepstow for the 220, Adrian Dupont for Paul Nichols. And finally, in the 235, the William Hill Lanzarote hurdle, Yala Enke for Venetia Williams.
Thank you very much, Craig. Best of luck and enjoy. And remember to tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from midday tomorrow with Darren Owen, Rory Delaghi and James Millman in the studio, guiding you through all of the action. We're at Kempton, Chepstow and Lingfield in the afternoon with an Irish card as well from Punchestown. So plenty to enjoy with us here on Saturday. You've been listening to Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.